Welcome to Argue Bros, the podcast that gives you multiple perspectives on today's hottest topics. Hosted by Nico Pingin, Fred in Progress, and Jess Freeman. If you're looking for some inspiration from and for normal people, or simply want to know the bros a little more, you better open up your mind to the fresh perspective that's coming your way right now.
And now you joined us in for another episode of Argue Bros, a podcast where we have a random conversation about anything and anything. And we got Jess Freeman and Fred in Progress. How y'all been?
No. We're catching up to the top we just had before we started, man. We're talking about that second win that you get when you get off of work.
You have a second win?
Oh yeah, bro. Once you get off work, man, I only slept like 3-4 hours. Once you get off work, it's like a whole new world, bro. It's like you took an energy drink. You took a tablet of caffeine, bro. It's like, because as soon as you get off work, he's like, I have a whole new world in front of me, and it's not the jobs.
Yeah, I think it's more so like after you're done giving your energy up to something that's not anything about you, you're like, hey, I need to spend energy on me. I need some investment on my own energy because I can't just spend all my energy on somebody else's thing. Like, I need to be spending energy that lets me have fun, because sometimes it'd be heck of annoying when you're trying to like do something and then you run out of energy because you was at work all day. Like, if you played ball or like if you played ball after work or whatever, and like as soon as you clock out, you're like mad tired and you're like, oh, do I even want to go play ball? Like, I'm kind of tired, man. I don't want to go to the gym. And then somebody cross me up because I'm tired. And then people don't care that you're tired. They're not like, oh, Fred, you know, we understand you're tired.
That's what they want to play against you. What you mean?
They're like,
he's tired. He works a full-time job. Look at him.
He's
working at the warehouse. His knees is weak.
He's been on his feet all day. Yo, come over here. Guard up, young blood. Let me break your ankles. It'd be so annoying, but you know, for at least for my own stuff, like when my shift is over, I get this. Now I don't want to say this boost of energy, but I have a consistent amount of energy. It's just that now I can focus a little bit more because I actually care about what I'm doing. Like once I don't have to like do my job, now I can focus. Okay, if I'm watching a video, I gotta make sure I'm enjoying it because you know I'm not working. I'm not on the clock.
I'm mentally selfish. That's me. I'm mentally selfish. I don't like working on other people's like working for a company like that. Like I don't choose to work there. I need it for money. I'm not selfish. Where like if I choose to work on someone else's business or help somebody else or spend my time somewhere else for someone else, totally different than me having to work at this place to support my life. Like so, once I get off work, I'm completely selfish with my mind of like what I want to do and my energy. And so like once I get off, it's like I have the freedom again to choose how I live and how I do and what I do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's kinda, where it really comes from.
That's kind of interesting.
I don't know. I'm kind of tired when I get off work. I don't know.
I understand that. It's not more of a physical tiredness. It's more of like a mental release.
Yeah, it's more of a mindset that allows you to see as it's like to see the free time that you're about to have as a more of an abundance of time, as opposed to you were constrained by having to be so focused on work stuff. So it's like this release that allows you to be like, hey, I can enjoy my time now. I can be myself. I don't have to bottle myself up in my corporate attire, in my corporate conversation, you know, unless you go to your second job. Because, you know, some people have 2 to 3 jobs. With COVID, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to have 2 to 3 jobs, a couple side hustles, you know, and it's still kind of hard to make ends meet just because, you know, that's how the economy is.
Bro, you know you're talking, fam, because, you know, once all the eviction notice hits, when the eviction release happens, I think in September or something like that, bro. Bro, every landlord, you know, on their desk got that stack of papers like, I'm seeing you in court tomorrow, Ms. Johnson. You going to be getting out of here, Mr. Boy. Like, oh, I ain't got nothing God, now. Like, no everybody way. Like working on 2 jobs, 3 jobs before you get evicted. It's coming.
Can you imagine for the past 2 years, bro, they're going to have fucking packets just all right. Yep. This guy's gonna get one. This guy gonna like Oprah, you get one. You get one.
I hear about the eviction notice and them coupons.
You get one.
Yo, man. They think they got a homeless problem now. We about to have homeless 10 cities times 10. Mm. I hear everybody be buying a 10 from Walmart.
Yeah, I guess that's why the wealth divide is happening. It's like you got to choose what side you're going to be on. You're going to have to be on the side that chooses prosperity and create a prosperous future for yourself, your legacy, your whatever, or you decide that you're not going to create and just be on the side that gets left behind at some point. Because the way inflation is going, the way gas prices, yo, gas.
Like what? Oh. Everything inflating, especially gas prices inflating because oil and everything like that was short because of COVID. Oh my God. Like you think the wealth divide is here? It's just starting. It's just starting, honestly.
Mm-hmm. That's why
I feel poor now.
That's why I'd be trying to be so focused on trying to create something. I'm trying to do something. I don't want to have that, that opportunity present itself in a negative light, like the opportunity to make, tough decisions like that without having safety. But at least, being productive as much as I can when I'm at work and then when I'm on my free time, and having at least the mindset to be productive and to be positive. Because again, some people, when they clock out, they're done. They don't want nothing to do with the future.
And they devote all their work and their mind to their job and then do no work for their own life. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's tough to try to build something and create something when all you're doing is for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Nah, but some people overestimate how strongly they feel towards their job or some shit. Like, I feel like they dedicate themselves thinking that they're as devoted as they should be. You know, like, everybody has this ideal image of what a perfect person is and, what they work towards every day. It may not be the same type of perfect for everyone, but everybody has their own perfect. I just feel like people overthink about it and just think, I think I'm doing good. Tomorrow I'm going to do this. And then they start thinking about their job too much and start forgetting about themselves.
Yeah, and it's something important to, while everyone's going crazy with the productivity, to not lose sight of yourself. You're still an individual.
These jobs, though, they're cool, but they might put like 2-3 positions on you when your job description is one position,
Bro, I always hated that with jobs. Can you imagine?
I hate that and the people who are willing to do it more than me, because the niggas the reason they exist.
Oh, man.
No, for less.
Slaves. Too, like, what are y'all doing? Exactly. Like, I'll do it for $5. The minimum wage is $7.25, right? Like, what? Like, what are you doing? like, what are you doing here?
Bro, that'd be so annoying. Like, you get hired to be, like, let's say, a door greeter. After 3 or 4 months, you'd be stalking. They'd be having you cashiering and stuff, like, hey, Billy's not here today, you want to ring some people up? It's like, excuse me, that wasn't in my job description. It's like, do you want a job or not?
It's like, yeah, I know, right?
It's like, yo,
are they gonna be nice with it? Like, can you come over and help me, like, volunteer? Like, I can fire you, right?
It's like, what? It's like, you didn't say that when you got me over here. It's like, I just wanted to walk over here. Like, I was bored over there. Like, I didn't know I was going to get pressure to get fired.
The way they were asking is like, hey, they need a hand back there.
I'd be like, I got two, but not for you.
Yo, you wild. No, that'd be so annoying. Yo, and then when you get to the office jobs, it's annoying too, because it's in its own way. They're asking you to do something that's really like you're supposed to, let's say, just do like spreadsheets. Like, all you're doing is like Excel spreadsheets and nothing else. And then out of the blue someday, they're asking you, hey, do you want to handle emails and do Microsoft Word documents? And it's like, no, unfortunately, like, when I got hired, they told me only spreadsheets, and that's all I know. I said, well, you do know that if you learn how to do emails and Microsoft Word, when the new positions come up and, the promotions come up, those positions that pay $5 more an hour, you'll be eligible for, because you already have the skill set.
That's even more dangerous. That's even more dangerous because that means you get like a few, you get months of free work for me, and then I don't even get guaranteed the raise.
What? And then you get to continue doing the work because you know how to do the work.
At that point,
it's like you already gave it up to them, so it's like they're not gonna say, "Hey, we're not gonna use your services." No, like, no, keep doing that. It's like, wait, but I want the promotion. I want the money that comes with doing this work. It's like, we'll think about it. It's like, what? You made me do all this work.
Chicken before the egg kind of thing. I'm like, oh. Yeah,
it's like you're getting the $20 an hour work, but you're only getting paid like $10 an hour. It's like, man, these scamming and swindlous individuals.
Yeah, you gotta read the fine print. They throw in different job descriptions in there, and then like, oh, we only want you doing this, but it is in your job description though.
Yeah, no. The wording is anything similar to this job. They always throw it at the end in like an almost every job description. I was throwing like, you know, as needed. We'll be using your services also in a similar manner or as needed. So whenever you hit them with this is not in my job description, they just hey, you see that last sentence right there? It says, or anything similar and as needed. So you're needed to do the word and the emails. It's like, man, they told me I wasn't going to be talking to nobody. That was just going to be the back end. That wasn't going to be in the front end. Well, today you're needed to be on the front. You're needed to be on the floor. And if you're not, then just know.
Do you want a job, Jermaine?
Yeah, it's like, if not, then if not, then you're not going to be needed here no more.
At the front, we all replaceable at this point, and unless you're replaceable still. Like everyone, there's so many people in the world. Like everyone,
unless you're creating your own job, yeah, you are replaceable. You are just a number.
Oh, that brings me to the night. That just reminded me of something. I don't know if y'all saw that. At that Rite Aid, that dude who got killed, he was like 36 something. He was a Hispanic. Inside he was working there trying to support. Inside of Rite Aid, he was trying to support his parents, working two jobs. These two dudes went in there and tried to steal like Coronas, two cases of Coronas, and he actually went and go fought them and tried to stop them, and they shot and killed him. And like, there's two sides opinions are like, oh my god, he was such a nice man, he's such a nice boy trying to support his family, and the other side is like, why are you fighting for the store's Coronas? Like, they don't pay you to guard, they don't pay you one to be a security guard, and two, even if they did ask me, like, they'd be telling me that like when I worked at Walmart, they want us to watch the doors. Watch people. I'm a cashier, my guy. Yeah. I ain't about to go stop somebody. They could take the entire store. I ain't gonna stop them. What you mean?
My life is
more important than your bag of chips. You feel me?
What's up? That happened to me like last week, bro, or the week before. How I'm in lawn and garden, right? So I work at Walmart.
Uh huh.
And I see this white dude just like coming towards our door to exit, like really desperately. And then behind him, I see the store manager, like, this is short lady. She looks really stumpy. She's not old, but she's middle-aged. She's, like, doing the old lady super walk, trying to stop him. And she got this little flustered-ass face. Man, she eventually gets in front of this dude and stops him at the door and says no, right? At first, he didn't want to, like, rough her up, so he tried to go around her, but she was doing the hammer dance around his ass, and she was not letting him through. And then at some point she tried to grab his bag. At that moment, my dude turned into goddamn fucking DK Metcalf, bro. Like, this man bodied her so hard, bro. The doors, the slider doors, they opened wide open like butterfly doors.
Holy
bro.
Shit, he pushed out.
Bro, and then there was a second set of doors that she did the same damn thing. And I'm just sitting there at the register watching the whole shit. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Everybody's just watching her like, what the hell is going on?
I mean, you get six figures to get knocked around, woman.
Bro, at the second door, she tries to, like, use a little force. This dude... Fuck DK Metcalf. My nigga turns to Deion Sanders. See, Deion Sanders just ran straight through her, bro. The doors were slammed open. Wow. I thought the glass was going to break, dude. Everybody looked at me like, Justin, why ain't you do nothing? I'm like, that's not in my job description.
Like, come on now. Come on, now you gotta protect it. You gotta go in there. Hit you with that merchandise.
They hit you with that.
What?
Now nah,
she decided to quit.
They'll hit you with that merchandise. You got to be a real gentleman.
To who?
Yeah, we were risking our lives for titles. You're like, I got to be a gentleman. I got to be a man. Go out here and catch a bullet.
Catch a bullet for who?
Even if I have asset protection, I'll turn a blind eye. Walmart.
Chilano, they might offer you that position next week.
Hey, man,
quit a week later.
Like, hey, we noticed that you really handle those cares with a lot of care and protection and integrity. We see what you're doing out there, what you do for the plants.
It's funny. You're funny that we're talking about this. Mm-hmm. I almost became asset protection when I worked at Walmart. I put my application in for that position, and I didn't get an interview for it. That was literally like a few weeks before I came up there to live with you in Massachusetts. I actually was interviewing for the asset protection position. And the funnier thing is that was when I was taking food from Walmart. So I would have been working asset protection while I'm taking from the store.
Yo, that just happened at my Walmart. Yo, this manager, they just call him stealing thousands and thousands of dollars, bro, for years. And he's been here for like 8-10 years.
Man, that's crazy. Stealing is wrong. See, I was taking. See, I paid and then I put it in a bag and took it. I just paid with my time.
What?
I agree.
Hey, I paid, my time is valuable. I had to recoup.
My brain is it's worth more than
Man, but I would say it's a little different because those managers, they're stealing like hella time. They're stealing time that they're not there in the store. They're stealing the shrinkage they're taking from the shelves. And then on top of that, they're also paying themselves, you know, a couple thousand dollars extra here and there as long as it's within accounting. I'm pretty sure it flies. That's how they can do it for such an extended period of long.
Bonuses.
Can you imagine, like, you do your grocery shopping and you're just deducting it from the store? Like, just your whole grocery shopping. Not, like, just a little bag of Doritos. Like, bro, these managers and, you know, high tier, they're getting paid hundreds of thousands. They're shopping on the store card. They're saying that they're there 40, 60 hours a week when they're only there 10, 20 hours. Who's going to correct them? Only like the store owner who's barely in the store the whole year. And as long as the numbers look good, they can get everybody else to do their job for them and just, you know, sign a check here and there when need be. And that's it.
I think that's an effective leader. The store's still running. They ain't got to be there.
The only thing is that somebody gets mad at it. And then it's like, oh, you were stealing. And it's like, man, you weren't complaining when the store was making a couple million dollars a week. I'm like, why are you firing me now?
Your process is. Must be followed.
Coronavirus is over. We could touch you now.
No, for real. Oh my God! Like, if you really think about it, though, like everybody about to be going back to work and school in September and stuff like that. Summer about to be over. Like, life is about to get real. Not like for me and for
not
us.
Me, not me.
I'm talking
though.
About like
not
life in general. About to get real crazy for a lot. He's like, about to get real crazy for a lot of people.
Yeah, he's like
real crazy for a lot of people, fam. I can't wait to watch and see what happens.
Well. Are you not hearing about this new strain?
And everybody will be in school and in groups, in large groups again. It's about to get real crazy. COVID may make a resurgence. Hey, COVID about to come like the 2000s. About to come back like you thought it was
about
gone.
To come back like a bad toothache.
Like what? Like all these reboot Disney shows and stuff. Like all the reboot of these Disney shows. COVID about to come back like you thought it was gone. Nah, it was intermission.
Okay, can we talk about that for a minute? Why is there a Girl Meets World? What is going on? Why is
new
personalities?
What the fuck?
New
is
gender
that?
Identities. They gotta reach out to everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In this day and age, I wouldn't be surprised if a Corey in the house. There's about to be a Mary in the apartment.
Oh my!
Would you be like?
Oh my God! No, apartment.
And to be politically correct, you sometimes gotta do Maria because you know you gotta reach out to a new demographic at the same time.
Yo, exactly.
No lie, for real. They're trying to reach as many different grammys as possible. And the women, the young girls are the ones watching right now, so that's who they gotta market towards. Back in the day, we got them young boys, like the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody and all them shows like that.
Those were lit shows.
Now we gotta change it up now.
Yeah, they did exactly what they needed to. They taught us lessons. They made us understand a lot of things that we were probably incapable of until somebody else showed us what to think about. Plus, You never watched it?
Fuck Sweet Like Zap, Cody.
Oh,
Cold Kyoko.
I mean, that was lit too.
Oh my god, Code Lyoko was fire. The anime, imagine if they rebooted that like with new animation. Oh my god, Code Lyoko was fire.
I'd be mad because the new animation that they do now for these kids is like the same type of drawing for every cartoon. It's like that goofy, stupid.
I mean, that's
look
all they can afford now.
And shit like that. Like, you see the new Teen Titans, the new Gumball. No, that's not all they can afford.
That's not all they can afford. What they do is there's no reason to do any better because it's kid watching. So it's like, we're trying to make as much profit as possible, profitability. Exactly. And I'm like, if we can get a good studio behind Code Lyoko, fam, we can get an anime level quality.
Man, how the hell is Atlantis and all those movies in the early 2000s?
That was a good movie.
90s.
Look better.
How are they? Exactly. Than today, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
What you mean? That makes a lot of sense.
And bro,
they got acquired and have more money now. What?
The technology we have.
No, think about it.
Like a Disney studio like technology.
How many?
Even if you don't have the big budget,
in a Disney studio, especially for animation, versus a small little TV show network.
Thousands.
Like Disney got a lot of employees
but even to this day, Disney doesn't make those quality.
They're not investing in those
movies
like that. That's not their bread and butter.
Yeah, now they're more like, focused like they're
what,
streaming.
Like,
they're more streaming like
Fred
the content
is saying,
they have.
Because the kids don't want really don't need nothing more.
Plus, there's so much content out there now that's like. Down. It's not as much value because people just watch the show, move on to the next one. There's so much more content because everybody can be a creator now, and it's so much easier to produce those kind of shows and produce shows in general. So it's like cookie cutter, like, let's make this idea, has a basic around, and then we'll produce that, throw it out there. And if it hits, then the next season's going to be better. Then they'll make it a little bit better. And if it hits again, then the next one. Because it's just like fast food. They're just trying to throw it out there now.
And it's just a copy and paste formula. It's like with the cookie cutter.
Finding real good shows is difficult. In this day and age,
and nobody's really
trying to get in your face immediately.
That's what it is, bro.
They're just like, they're just trying to like remove a couple of chips here and there and spray paint it, just make it a small, subtle difference. Like, hey, you know, we've done this with other shows, so we know you like it. The only difference is we'll insert a different cast member.
I'll throw a little lesson in it. Just like with every market and business. Literally the market decides and the market doesn't care that much about it because about the quality of the show. They just need something for their kids to watch and the kids don't really care either. So the market doesn't really care.
So
they just provide the same
like
thing
Sesame
over and over
Street
again.
And stuff like that. That've been over like what 70 years and it's still the same.
Consistently good. Sesame Street is
the Peanut movie. It came out in like what 2017, 2018. And it's the same style, same ish as when it was
same with like the Muppets and stuff like that. Like they've been.
Y'all have a favorite like childhood movie?
Childhood.
Yeah.
Like favorite child movies to watch like a ton
Brother
or something
Bears.
Like that. Oh yeah, I remember Brother Bears.
That shit went crazy because I had a lot of brothers,
like more than once or once did you like it? Also, you want to base your life off them, kind of like building around there?
Yeah, I really did, but then. Started to realize life in the movie, especially now.
Honestly, my two favorite got to be Atlantis and second. But first, I love Treasure Island, man. That was, man.
I used to love
Pirates in the Seas and stuff like that because you have to travel with the stars. And then when I saw that movie that they were traveling, like in they were space pirates type of thing, I was like blown away because it just allowed me to see that there's a whole nother level of creativity that I didn't even know was possible.
Yo, that was like
blew my mind. Space
like,
pirates, space yes, yo, that was so crazy. It was One Piece in the Sky before One Piece in the Sky. Like it was such a brand new way of like looking at a movie. It was so mind opening. I just loved it so much. Like same with Atlantis. Atlantis was like another like mind opening movie that I didn't wrap my head around. Like those are two movies I really want to rewatch again because when I saw them as a kid, you don't really remember too much. Like, oh, for real?
Nah, I see those every now and then. Just because, you got to get in touch with the good old days. Because if you stay in tune with today's world, you'll find yourself in some type of funky-ass
I mean, they don't make movies
world.
Like that. But Fred, what was your favorite childhood movie?
Because Everything's controlled.
I got two of them, but mainly after the main one is Agent Cody Banks. I don't know if y'all remember Agent Cody Banks with the other dude who played Malcolm in the Middle. Dude, Agent Cody Banks was great. The gadgets. Then like the second movie, they had that black guy in there who was doing like the pastries and doing the music and everything. I watched that movie like at least 10 times when I was a kid. I used to rewatch Agent Cody Banks, the series. It's like 2-3 movies. And the other one's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Y'all remember that one? It's where it's a movie about where they shrunk the kids and the father got shrunk, and they were like all running around the grass outside, everything trying to kill them and stuff. They had like two or three movies off that series alone. Those like funny ones that I used to watch a lot when I was younger. You know, you used to watch VHS tapes. you used to record and then have to rewatch the same thing over and over again. Got nothing else better.
My favorite movie, I thought we were talking about like cartoons, but I fucking love Apocalypse. Whatever.
What's that about?
I forgot how that movie's called. With the indigenous guy that he's like being sacrificed, but he just escapes and he's running through the woods, and then all those tribal people are chasing him because he's a sacrificial person. Yeah. I think it's called
Apocalypse. I remember that because that reminded me, like, yo, that's how it must have been with my people too in the Dominican Republic. Like, just seeing, you know, a group of people just come in and start slaughtering.
It kind of sounds similar to the modern day slave. I mean, the not the modern day slaves, the back in the day slaves. But like the slave tribes turned on each other and sold each other across the seas. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like said they're trying to sacrifice them to the gods. But
yeah, it was tough for me as a kid to pick a specific movie just because they all were lit. But those movies that really showed me like the creativity and how awesome it is to like create a vivid story with like an engaging storyline, with the visuals that are crazy, with dramatic plot twists that you're unprepared for and stuff like that. Those are the ones that like truly make you go like, wow, that's amazing.
Have you seen this?
No, I've never seen that movie. No.
What? This movie is insane, bro.
It's
this
about Native American.
He just tries to survive to see his family, bro, pretty much.
Yeah, I got like the Mayan vibes.
Yeah, it is, pretty much.
It's set in Yucatan, absurd, Mexico, around the year 1502. It portrays the hero's journey of a young man named Jaguar Paul, a late Mesoamerican hunter, and his fellow tribesmen who are captured by an invading force. After the devastation of their village, they're brought on a perilous journey to a Mayan city for human sacrifice at a time when the civilization of the Mayans were in decline. It was a pretty good box office success.
I got a debate now because, like, honestly, thinking back now and, like, the movies we had back when we were kids, like, the content we had when we were younger, like, when I have my children about, like, 5-10 years from now,
whatever you like them watching, I wonder. What are you?
They're gonna be watching SpongeBob shit in their fucking diaper.
Like, what?
SpongeBob shit in a diaper.
Like, oh my god, possibly. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what I don't even know how.
Patrick did his own show.
Oh my god, we're gonna live long enough to see Patrick has his own show.
Oh, I didn't know that movie was directed by Mel Gibson.
Yeah, so imagine in 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, that was
Mel Gibson directs movies.
He directed them. He directed it and wrote that
every
movie.
Now and then.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson, the one I'm thinking about is the You Have My Daughter. that dude, like, that's Mel Gibson? Or that's the main actor for that movie, right? What's that movie where he's on the phone be like, I remember that voice.
That's another
one. Hunt the man down. What's that movie called, bro? No, that's a different man. That's a different dude. Yeah. Like, oh, dude.
Liam Neeson.
No. I don't know why that name is.
Like, Liam, I will Liam find Neeson. You, and I will hunt you down.
Yeah. And then they made a little TV series that flopped out of that. they had a whole TV series based on the same name in the movie and everything, but a different actor and so on. It's okay.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, nowadays they try to like, extend stuff.
Can we talk about how in Taken, Forrest Whitaker, we found out that he has a brother that actually looks like him and is an actor as well? that we all mistakenly thought that this guy was in every freaking movie that we've seen, but it's most likely his brother.
Really?
Yeah.
That news to me, fam.
You didn't know?
I didn't know he had a brother. Nor did I know that was not him.
Google this right now.
Wait, do they look the same?
Yes, bro. They look very similar.
That's crazy. He got a memorizable face, so I'm not surprised. And so, of course, they look... Oh, my God. They do look almost exactly the same. Just one's a little bit skinnier. Oh, they're twins.
Whoa. That's his brother?
That's crazy. I did not know that was a thing.
Yo, chill out.
Yes.
Nah, that's clone gang.
Twin game is strong out here.
One got a whole freaking limp eye. One got regular set of eyes. That's how I tell the difference.
anything necessary.
Have you guys ever had friends that were twins growing up? No,
I haven't.
Yeah, it's like you gotta find like those weird little ways to tell them apart like that. Like, hey.
Nah. Luckily,
I just said no. I didn't care that much. I had to like the same people.
They get offended.
It's just like one person had beauty marks in places that weird, the other didn't.
Use weird ways, like either somebody's voice is deeper than the other, or it's some weird small thing that if you're not around them all the time, you'll never hear it or see it type of thing.
That's facts. Nah, yo. I met this set of twins, these girls, right, when I moved over here in like 2014, whatever, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, these girls love to like look like each other to confuse people on purpose.
I played baseball with a set of twins. Up, you know them, Jeff?
And I asked them, so what if you both like the same people?
Yeah, the Heredia twins?
You said twins?
hanging out with them so long. And I used to joke with them. I was like, you sound like a girl. That's why I can tell apart. When your brother sound, he sound like a man. But you my guy, you sound like a female. And I would piss them off. Like, no, I don't.
Nah, that's true. With them, that's true.
I don't know if I would want a twin.
I don't think you... Yeah,
because it would be a separate mind. I want a clone of myself.
What if your girlfriend is a twin? Because
then I'd be able to control that person, just be a lazy version of me, and then send them out. But if I have a twin, we'd still have to live our own lives.
What if you were going to have twins?
No, fuck.
I'd rather have twins.
What if your girlfriend is a twin and you didn't know it?
And they switched out?
Not even switched out. She's like, my sister's coming to visit.
If they ask me something like, can you tell us apart? I was like, yo, don't ask me. I haven't hung out with the both of you enough times to tell the difference.
Yeah, you got the brown hair.
I'll be like, give me like 1 week.
Yeah, it's like,
I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, exactly. Because I can't do this on the spot. It's like, if you can't guess this, I'm gonna be mad at you for a whole week. Like, what? That's like, what?
Shit, making a month.
I ain't signed up for this pop quiz that's like contingent on this whole relationship. Like, what? I ain't studying. He didn't give you enough study material. Nah, you can't just do that. You can't just drop
it. Which one of these is not like the other? I'm like, they're both the same. What is this?
That's like, you got to hit him with the raw truth. Listen, even your parents can't tell the difference between the both of you. It's like, yes, they can. It's like, no, they cannot. They just say the both of your names so fast.
You want to know the difference? Your titties are smaller, all right? I'm sorry. Nah, man. You got smaller.
Like, how you know?
I could look, you an A cup. She double D's in my face. What you talking about?
Nah, that would be awkward if they didn't tell you if they were a twin and just, like, drop that on you. Because it's like, hey, you got to communicate a little bit better than that. Like, what? I don't know that you have a twin sister that looks exactly like you. Like, by the time you have kids or whatever with them, like, you don't know if her genes are stronger than yours type of thing. And then both of your daughters or sons look alike.
How do you like it so far? Don't forget to reach out via social media and suggest the next hot topics to argue about.
Would you want twins or regular children?
I mean, I feel like twins is like two for the price of one.
I feel like on a logistical standpoint, twins are beneficial because like they wear the same size from when they're young. They have come out at the same time, so you can just buy twice as much baby food. Don't worry about differences.
Exactly, bro. Like,
like they're out there entire life. It's so much easier.
Triplets or quadruplets.
It just makes more sense.
Nah,
I hold them now. Once you get to a certain, once you cross the threshold of human life, you know
that like this man said quadruplets.
That'd be so amazing. Think about it.
If you want that many kids, now I want 3 to 5 kids. I'll be fine.
Yeah, because think about it, they're not all going to be the same gender. So you might have 2 boys or 2 girls, 3 boys and 1 girl, 3 girls and 1 boy.
Hey, you better got mad money because you're going to be because you'll have to have the money for all of them at the same time.
Nah, no,
you have to spread out kids,
and they can't share. They can't do it like how older kids with younger kids. Yeah,
they can't do hand-me-downs. Yeah, they can't do hand-me-downs because they all wear the same thing at the same time. Unless they like, you all we'll mix and match outfits
in bulk or in general and sharing and rotating. Like, hey, y'all rotating.
Nah, Justin, knowing Rafi, Justin, Rafi gonna start him a TV show and be like, man, my life with my quadruplets starting to make some money on him. Rafi's gonna be like, we can afford them.
The TV's gonna pay for this.
Real talk, I got amazing quadruplets. Exactly.
Yo, you have 4 kids to go to college. I'm gonna be like the LeVar Ball of parenting.
You gonna speak it into existence?
I can see it. No, I could really see it, bro. That's crazy because I could see that happening.
Man, Rafi gonna walk out with his golf cap. Like, I told y'all they were gonna be professors.
With his yellow ass teeth after screaming at them boys for 17 years.
Like, what?
Hey, I told you you're gonna be ballers. Number one.
Yeah, I had enough to make a whole team.
What you talking about? I gotta make my own AAU team with my own blood.
My boys will beat Michael Jordan.
No, but by that time it'll be Bronny Jr. and all them.
Hold up. Let's talk about the NBA championship, man. Shout out, man. Chris Paul. What y'all think?
Coach,
you know, ever come
as
back?
As a coach.
Ever gonna be close enough to ring again?
No. As a coach.
I don't think he's coming
as
back.
As a coach.
As a player. Yeah, exactly. Like Rafi said. I don't think he's
going to
back.
I think it benefited D-Book more than anything. I think Chris Paul is probably going to play for like 2 to 3 more years. But I don't think he's going to get that close to ring again.
I think these finals showed us, though, that D-Book was not ready for this.
But it was okay.
I feel like it was a good loss. I feel like of course it's okay. Exactly.
He's going to get a ring. It's not for Chris Paul. He's not going to retire without a ring.
Leading the charge. If he wins, it'll be on back burner, which I know he doesn't want it like that.
There was only two winners, only two winners in the finals, man. It was the Bucks and Giannis, and it was Scott Foster. Undefeated, boy. Undefeated, bro. He need a championship ring. He need a championship ring too.
NBA, don't listen to this.
He need a championship ring too, bro. I'm telling you, man. Giannis should have went up and was like, "Yo, I got 50 piece McNugget from Chick-fil-A. I saved you 13 because you 13-0 against Chris Paul. Here you go."
Nah, I like Giannis though. He tries to be, I think he tries to, I don't know if he's fooling the people or what, but shit, if he is, he's fooling the fuck out of me. I think he tries to be wholehearted and kind of honest.
I mean, he
as
is.
Much as he possibly saying, can.
He be saying the truth.
I don't think he's fooling people because, I mean, what he came from? Yeah, like, that's the kind of person
he was,
you're going to be
if
you came
facts,
from.
Like,
the
when he said, when he said that he doesn't like
to... I know, but you know power be, like, changing.
Yeah,
people,
no,
so
I know.
I said, I hope he's not.
Because think about it. When he said that he doesn't to work out with his competitors because, it's like, you're my enemy. Why am I going to work out with you? Versus other NBA players that they're all buddy-buddy with each other and it's like, hey, dabbing up. It's like, I don't want to dab you up. I'm trying to teabag you in a couple minutes. look how he was playing with. He was teabagging everybody
stat,
on the Suns.
Bro, that's facts. Now, he dunked.
Man, especially, he been
so
aiding
long,
his son.
Bro, he dunked on 2 people and just turned around.
Bro, he made DeAndre Ayton his son for like the last 4 games. Like, my man.
Yeah, DeAndre Ayton was a little boy to him, man. Little
like,
boy.
What? The entire Suns team was a little boy. Ain't nobody could stop him.
Where your lunch money is.
It's so funny. Chris Paul's like 10 years his senior, but then you saw that Chris Paul clip. Chris Paul trying to push him with all his strength, trying to push Giannis away from the goal. Giannis just dunking on him. Like, God, that is so sad, man. State Farm calling you. Yo, they need that insurance.
Dad, Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm gonna tell you, Rain.
that's when he knew. Wait, that's when Chris Paul knew he needed to be Cliff Paul from then on.
Yo, like what? Wait, said my second job.
Quit this. I'm Cliffing.
I seen this crazy stat that Giannis that compares Giannis to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It said that in his first championship of the Bucks in 1971, Kareem scored 50 points, 10 rebounds, and like something like 7 assists or something like that. Mind you, now 56 years later, whatever the case is, y'all do the math. I don't want to do it.
Now we got calculators for that. What you talking about? Hey, a software. Where you at?
Giannis does the same thing, and the age gap is so scary because in 1971, when he won his first championship, he had 2 MVPs, one Defensive Player of the Year, and he was only 26. Crazy fast forward to today, Giannis has the same fucking accolades at the same exact age. It's just like history repeats itself, and if the person puts in the work, you could be a key figure in history repeating itself.
Bro, I'm joining the Bucks for a dollar, fam. I'm gonna be sitting on that bench, be like, give me my ring, Giannis. What you need? I got your shoulders. What you need?
Chris Middleton, the generic motherfucking Walmart version of the retarded KD? Kobe. Nah, not KD, bro. I say retarded.
Oh, he's like the tiny Slim Reaper, like the 10% Slim Reaper that you're gonna get like maybe 40.
He's Kobe though, because he just loves mid ranges and fade.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'll agree with that.
That's all he does, bro. If he was Slim KD, he'll do pull up, attack basket, dunk, pull up threes.
Do you think they're guaranteed a second ring if they can find someone more? Either
you don't think they can get a ring and Jaylen
gets more consistent?
You think they make
so many injuries this year? There was so many injuries this year. I think they would have lost the Nets. They would have lost to the Nets if the Nets didn't have injuries. Yeah, I think so.
If the Nets built the wall correctly, they would have lost. If
they would
have 2 centimeters back, they would have lost.
But he didn't.
Yeah, and they had injuries too. Like if they wouldn't have made it that far. Unless they injured her next year, they would not have made it.
It's like in the first Fast and Furious.
I'm not discounting the victory like a lot of people would do. I'm just saying for ring two, it's going to be harder. Ring two is going to be harder.
It's like it could have been a couple inches. It could have been a whole mile.
We're not talking about how they lost. We're talking about that they barely won with injuries. So I'm saying with the.
But that's what I'm saying. Like even with injuries, like you still that's still part of the game. Like you still got to take that into account.
I am. That's why I said congratulations this year. Next year not going to be that easy.
You think a full healthy Nets team can destroy the Bucks?
It's gonna be harder for ring two.
Yes. Because their wall defense, because Jay Rue and Chris Middleton are not consistent, and so Giannis would have to score 50, and Nets were not going to allow that because the Nets had better defense.
Jay Rue's defense is always consistent, though.
His defense is not even needed to be
James Harden, and then you guys shut down Kyrie, and then Giannis shuts down.
Funny
KD,
funny,
and now you have a series.
Take that shit back, bro.
Giannis didn't even guard KD.
Shut down KD. Are you crazy?
He barely even guarded him sometime. What do you mean?
KD dropped like 40 every game.
Did you even hear what I said?
What are you saying?
No, you didn't. I said you get Giannis down KD. Not he shut down.
And you said PJ Tucker is going to stop Harden?
Who else is going to guard him?
To be honest,
I'm just saying, I don't think, and I'm not even talking about the Nets matchup. Like, let's rewind. Let's rewind. Maybe, like, imagine this. Passive. We have the GOAT. We have the GOAT of NBA players from the 76ers. Kobe? Nah, Kobe? Ben Simmons, man. He about to come out. Y'all thought he had a bad year this year. He about to come back like point guard.
He's going
to
be aggressive. They're gonna make him into MIP.
You didn't see his Twitter post?
He's going to be the poster boy.
We analyzed his Twitter post, guys, and he said he's gonna come back stronger. He was like, "Blessed up to my 25 years, man. I had some down times, had some up times. You think about that? He's gonna come back."
Like, just like how Giannis got MIP, You know, he was already doing pretty good, and that was just like he just blew everybody else out the water.
Nah, Ben about to get rookie of the year. He about to handle business, bro. No, real talk though, the 76er could have went further.
I don't want to say he was trash. It's just like
he was a net negative. He was a net negative, and when you shoot, he was trash. He lost. They lost the series of that man right there.
That whole franchise is just low key. Like
no, it's the process, dog. Trust in it.
But he whines OD, bro.
Every NBA player is such a whiner and depend on the ref. They had to instill that new rule, the backing into the player rule, so that way people don't take advantage of backing into a foul. Because I was like, why are so many players like just playing like that? Like, there's no, it's not fun. Like, you're playing to draw in a charge like that. Like, a lot of the NBA was turning into like how soccer is and like, you know, diving and stuff like that. Like, bro, can we just play? Like, why are you just constantly playing? Like, you're just playing to get a fouls because you know that you're like a 90% free throw shooter. And it's like, dude, that's not even fun. Like, you cross somebody up and then you let them be behind you and then you just like jump backwards and try to fake a layup or whatever.
You talking about like the FIBA rules and stuff like that? How they weren't getting, how they were losing a few games first because they were trying to.
I don't know if they did it in the FIBA, but the NBA enacted the rules.
A lot of people were talking about that. Team USA. I've lost a couple of games. They were looking for fouls.
Yeah, that shows the NBA.
Oh, like that's how they play with the NBA.
It's fucking trash basketball. Team USA.
Yeah, refs a little bit soft.
They were trying to play like how they do in the NBA.
Literally, yeah.
Superstar. Dude, that would be funny if Joel Embiid's most popular moment is going to be Kawhi Leonard's like game 7 jumper from the corner, him crying. Like if Joel Embiid never wins a ring, that would be probably his most popular video or most memorable moment. Is him crying, trying to guard.
If the Sixers won that year, they probably would have took it all.
Yeah,
we'd be surprised with the momentum of that game.
Game 7 in NBA history, Game 7 buzzer beater in the.
So I'm saying that could be the most memorable moment if he doesn't win a ring. Like that'd be crazy.
But then again, he makes so much money. It's like he already won the process because he wasn't supposed to be there either. He has a similar come up like Giannis.
Nah. We're talking about in the concept of the game. We're talking about the concept of winning, not the money. Money they already won. Whatever.
You don't win the process unless you win.
I don't think he's going back to anywhere close there. I don't think Sixers are going to go to the conference finals.
I think they're going to break apart and have to rebuild.
Yeah, they're going
to
have to.
They're on a fine line. They're on a fine line right now.
Like, think about it. Think about
anything, though? You don't think he's not even going to get one?
Nah.
I mean, like, with the up-and-coming talent that's in the league already.
You got to take away from
Donovan Mitchell. You got Devin Booker. You got Alonzo Ball. You got Brandon Ingram. You got Zion Williamson. You got... You got Charlotte. There's so many good teams that are coming up. There's so many young talent. They're going to be a gauntlet to fight through each year.
You got to look at the whole squad plus a six man.
They do have a good team still, but they need some supporting.
Or like the game prior, Chris Paul going into a double team. Who gonna give me my cookies? the way he snatched it from Devin Booker, y'all rewatched it, playing like prison yard bully ball. Like the way he just takes that ball and just rips it out of Devin Booker's hand. Like it's like had it up to the point, but it's like how badly do you want it in crunch time? You gotta want it more. Unfortunately, Ben Simmons don't want it more. He wants to pass it under the paint by himself. That's very tough.
Bro, that was that series was more comedic than anything for me. It was just like watching.
That was
the
highlight.
I don't know how long
it
could take for losing to live that.
Losing
down.
To a champion is going to be the highlight of the 76ers basketball for the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. And plus, like anytime the 76ers brought it, it's going to be like Doc Rivers was like,
and he couldn't have done a better job.
Keep Ben in, and then literally at the end, like, dude, Doc is so sad, man. He has such a terrible record.
Want to say that.
Every time he loses,
and Doc used to be
man.
A player.
Like,
Doc was a player. You know, sometimes Doc want to keep it real. Be like, man, y'all was trash tonight. Man, if I had 20, 30 years left in my tank. Man, I go there and I dust on your ass. Yo, Ben Simmons.
I would have went to the Y and replaced Ben Simmons. They would have got 2 points at least.
I just want to hear that. I just talked to Charles Barkley.
Oh my God, dude. Man, did you hear about Charles Barkley? How he's thinking about quitting NBA TV because they like limited things he can talk about. Like he can't even call San Antonio women big
it's
anymore.
Tough.
Like, oh my God.
And but.
They're trying to PC him. They're trying to PC him out. So
you think about what would you do in your situation?
Don't add Dwayne Wade.
Oh my god, yeah, they probably would add Dwayne Wade. I would leave too, but he's so big now. He has his own shows and stuff. He can do his own thing. But it just sucks like national television is getting so PC. They can't even call San Antonio women
and
big.
It's a
anymore.
Funny joke.
It's funny
and
joke.
It's
like,
a funny
he was such
joke.
A highlight of the
it's
NBA.
It's not even true. It's just a funny joke. San Antonio, bro, they're hilarious. Not big like that. Why they do? Why Chuck is big? Why they hating? He's Chuck. He just. out of all the thousands of skin, like out of all the thousands of skinny women in San Antonio, only took like two or three weak written. Emails to make them all scared, like, hey, we're gonna lose, you know, 15,000 of our viewers in San Antonio with this kind of language. Like, ooh, I'm so scared.
Like what? Ooh, they care about more about opinions than money. Like, they should be like the NBA and be like, care about more about the money. Cause, like, just like the NBA is losing so much money on the WNBA, but they keep it going. Just that's what they should do with NBA TV.
I wonder if they're doing that just for politics or if it's like if they can't afford it and decide to cut it out, like they're going to get burned.
They're going to get burned. It's publicity. If they stopped the WNBA,
like if they were real
there
business
was all
owners,
hell would break loose. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like if
they
were
they are real business owners because
I'm saying like if they
money,
were like they're like
money
hey, we're
is
losing
more,
money.
It's not as important as perception because they're losing money, but they gained a lot out. On the other end. They gained so much more by keeping it up. It's not about
you
the
think
money.
So?
Yeah, they lose about $10 million per year on it, but they gain so much more in like fan base of the women who watch it, not watching WNBA, but watch the NBA, and the negative effects and the connotation would be worse than the $10 million that they lose every year on it. Like if you think about it financially, they would lose more by not having it
so
than they would
to
by
pay
just
that,
paying
that quote unquote that tax.
Cost, yeah, it's just a cost that benefits them. Yeah, plus, I mean, they pay players like millions of dollars. $10 million is not much to lose.
It's so funny.
They're a billion-dollar business.
One expenditure
to keep because public perception is so powerful nowadays. They have no money, but like if the
public
perception
like
burns on
you,
the
salary of the host league.
and
it's crazy
because
the NBA has so many different contracts.
It's 1/4.
Yeah.
1/4 of Chris Paul's
like
salary.
The crazy thing. The crazy thing is like a contract. One contract that the NBA has with like a company covers that whole expenditure, like the whole season, everything of all pay. Like it's so crazy. Versus like on the other side, on the men's team, like for the superstar players, like you need multiple ways of affording LeBron. You need to have sales tickets. You need to have merchandise sales. You need to have like shoe endorsements,
stylish clothes.
Like you need
the margins
like,
are so much tighter.
Him, you need way more than just you know. We got a TV deal, and your TV deal pays your $50,000 a year contract, Brittany. It's like you know, like LeBron would laugh at that. It's like, hey, LeBron, we're paying you $50,000 because we only got a TV deal. You know what I mean? But you know, that's just what we got so far. Y'all got any upcoming projects that y'all got coming up?
I just finished up that life coaching thing. Okay, that's about it. Gonna be building a Rafi website out hopefully about a month from now. I'll be live or less. I'm gonna say a month because who knows what problems could possibly happen, but a month or less, we'll see that website out.
Stay tuned, more stories.
Yeah, that's
more music.
That's late. I finally got my comic out in Spanish and the English version too. Bate on nicopengan.com/BATEY. I got it in English, I got it in Spanish, and yeah, we're making this a real story. I really like how it's coming about. Chapter 2 is coming out pretty soon. It's going to introduce the main nemesis, Fred.RTG, inspired by Fred in Progress.
What's up?
That's what they
yes, sir.
Ready to go.
Main inspiration for the villain. So, you know, once that chapter 2 comes out, everybody that listens on this, y'all going to know that's where it comes from. Other than that, you know, Argue Bros, you know, we're trying to do it scheduled, you know, once a week on Wednesdays, 2 a.m. Eastern time. So check us out. Argue Bros out.
Check us out.
Peace.
You've been listening to Argue Bros. We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and leave us a review to let us know what you think. Keep listening, and we'll catch up with you next week.